Amen. Appreciate all the music and all the preaching. So many services today, and appreciate all. But let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And then if we could work in some verses here. And then let's go to John 10:30. John 10:30, talking tonight about Jesus' deity. It's good to have some verses down in our hearts showing that Jesus is God. In John 10 and verse 30. And let's go through this one three times. Good. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 10:30. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 10:30. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 10:30. And then if we could go to Isaiah 9:6, which we looked at this morning, but there's a good Old Testament passage showing that the Messiah would indeed be God. In Isaiah 9:6. And let's go through this one three times together, too. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Okay, then let's go to Romans 10, Romans chapter 10. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the honor of us tonight again. Thank you for your word, how we look at it, hear it, understand it. Thank you for showing us plainly who you are.
Yes.
We can trust it.
Amen.
Praise be you, Pastor Niles, and endeavors to explain it to us.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Romans 10 and verse 1. The title of the message is Sincerely... Wrong. Okay, Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have what? A zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We got a letter recently to our house, and it was addressed to Holly Austin. Well, next month, Holly will have been married 26 years. I wonder who has such an old database that they would have sent a letter to Holly with her maiden name. In fact, she's never even lived with us at this house. It was the previous house when she got married. So who is doing this? You know, I just had a feeling I knew, because this isn't the first time this has happened. And so I opened the letter. I figured I could safely do that, 26 years inaccurate. And I was correct at who sent it to her, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've done it before, and I don't know how many years previous. The Jehovah's Witnesses may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. Number one, Jehovah's Witnesses may be sincere, but their database is inaccurate and wrong. First of all, their database of names, and of course, someone just mentioned that they had some Jehovah's Witness visit their home. Throughout this whole COVID thing, they haven't been out, and so maybe they're starting to venture out again. So they've been doing a lot more mailing instead. But I have no idea where they get their database of names. But 26 years old, that goes back a ways. And I just wonder how much money they're spending. And I wonder how many thousands of people, if they're using a database 26 plus years old, I just wonder how many people the same thing is happening to. And, you know, that's probably not a really good selling point, do you think? I mean, if they know that it's that many years inaccurate, out of date. But there's a bigger error than their postal database, and that is their database of Scripture is wrong. Their translation, they use the New World Translation. It was translated by Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't want to tell who did it. And obviously, it's because they probably don't have any training, really, in Greek and Hebrew. And so, but they definitely use the faulty critical text. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 14, Colossians 1:14. You know, because we use the King James Bible and we say we believe it is the Word of God, the accurate translation of the Word of God, we are sometimes called by people part of the KJV cult. And of course, that is really a very inaccurate name for us. Calling us a cult because we believe God preserved his word. If you'd hold your place there in Colossians 1:14, would you turn with me to Psalm chapter 12? Psalm chapter 12. Now, what is strange about people that use other translations is that they really don't care what other translation you use, unless you are using the King James Bible. And then they're very critical of you, of us. But it seems like any other translation, they're fine with. That's strange, a strange attitude, isn't it? In Psalm 12:6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then who keeps them? Thou. And who's the thou? God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever. So it's God preserving it, not man. You know, if you look to man, then you're looking to someone faulty. But it's God that's overriding all things. He's the one preserving his word. So in Colossians 1:14, back there, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Even the what? Forgiveness of sins. The New International Version reads, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the NIV leaves out the blood of that verse. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses translation says, the New World Translation. It says, by means of whom we have our release by ransom, the forgiveness of our sins. What did they also leave out? The blood. They left out the blood. Notice with me in 1 John chapter 5, we looked at some verses there about the deity of Christ, that he is God. In 1 John 5 and verse 7, we have two Bible course series, one on the New King James Bible and one on the NIV, and we really need to get some others because the NIV, really, I think the last I heard is not the most common modern translation now. One time it was behind the King James, but others, I believe, have surpassed it now. So we need to get out some more studies on this subject. But in 1 John 5, 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." The NIV says this, "For there are three that testify." What did they do? Well, they don't tell us who the three are, and they don't tell us that the three are one. They left out all of that. You know, there's people that say, the modern translations don't change any doctrine. They don't. There's a lot of doctrine changed right there, left out. Well, this is what the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation says. "For there are three witness bearers." What did they leave out? The three names of them, and that the three are one. They left it out. And so what I found interesting is when I did a study of the NIV and the New King James and the New American Standards the same way, but maybe not in this verse. I don't recall in this verse. But anyway, those modern translations often agree with Jehovah's Witness translation. Now, why is that? Because they use the same manuscripts, the same family of manuscripts. And it's all based on Westcott and Hort, although the one author, if you read much about it, James White is a well-known author on Bible translations, and he likes to be very critical of the King James. And, you know, he makes the claim that, well, these manuscripts are really not Westcott and Hort's manuscripts. Well, it was Westcott and Hort, the unbelievers, who come up with the critical text. And so that was the change, Westcott and Hort. And they are following that change. They're going against the received text. Even the New King James claimed that they were using the received text. But in Old Testament passages, we've seen that they do not always do that. So this is a very important verse dealing with the Trinity. NIV agrees with the Jehovah's Witness rendering. No names of the Trinity are listed, and that they are one is not listed. So if somebody tries to say that, are you that King James, you know, part of that King James cult? Well, just refer them to these Bible courses and say, my friend, you are the one. Your translation agrees with the cult, not mine. So notice in John 8:24, how important is it that someone believes that Jesus is God? Brother Steve had a good message on that at the nursing home. How important is it that people believe that Jesus is God? Well, it's the difference between heaven and hell. That's the importance of it. In John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die," what? "In your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Well, who is he? Back up just a little bit in verse 17, John 8:17. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known who? Me. Ye should have known who? My Father also." Well, those words sound very familiar, and Jesus goes into it more in chapter 14 with Thomas and Philip. John chapter 14. And let's just pick up in verse 1, John 14, 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Who speaks up now? Thomas. "Thomas saith him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known who? Me, which is who? Jesus. Ye should have known who? My Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have what? Seen him." So now Philip gets into it. Verse 8. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen who? Me, and the me is who? Jesus. He that hath seen me, Jesus, hath seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then? Show us the Father." So he deals this with Thomas and with Philip. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, because they are one. The Jehovah's Witnesses are just like Saul before he got saved and became Paul. Zeal, but not according to knowledge. Notice in Acts 9, Acts chapter 9, and verse 1, Acts 9, and verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said," what? "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." So now the Lord speaks to a Christian man, Ananias, verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And on he goes down through here then, and so he goes to meet Saul, and he receives his sight. And then in verse 20, and speaking of Saul, it says, and straightway he, what did he do? Preached Christ in the synagogues that he is who? The Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is who? Very Christ. So it's interesting. Verse 20, he straightway preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So let's see here. Let's jump then to 1 Timothy 1. So to deny that Jesus is the Son of God is to deny that he's God, and it's to blaspheme his name. Notice what Paul would say later on in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Is it a big deal if someone says, I don't believe that Jesus is God? Is that really that big of a deal? Yes, it is. Looking back on it, notice what Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a what? Blasphemer. You know, Paul would have, or Saul previously, would have never blasphemed the name of Jehovah. So what is he talking about? He was blaspheming the name of Jesus by denying that he is God. So he's speaking of his own testimony, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now watch what he says in verse 17. Now unto who? The King eternal. Who's he referring to? The King. Jesus. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. And then what does he say? The only wise God. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. The only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, when talking with the Jehovah's Witnesses, we have a gospel track out there that deals with Isaiah 41:10, but it's just good to bring out to them, they are in the same situation that Saul was. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And they really are blaspheming the name of God. You know, they make a big deal out of the name Jehovah, but they are, by denying that Jesus is God, they are blaspheming God's name, just like Paul admitted. And when he came to Christ, verse 17, he calls the King, which is Christ, the only wise God. You know, whenever the Jews understood Jesus to be making himself out to be God, that's when they picked up the stones. You know, ask the Jehovah's Witnesses that. Why do you think they killed Jesus? If Jesus wasn't making himself out to be God, why did the Jews want to kill him? It's very clear. Look at John 5. When they wanted to kill him, it was because they understood he was saying that he was God. In John 5:15. The Bible says the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews, what? Persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was what? His Father, making himself what? Equal with God. When Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, that was claiming equality with God. If any of our sons said they were an Austin, just because they are our sons doesn't make them less of an Austin. And if you have sons, that, in other words, the family line doesn't get watered down. I am just as much an Austin as my dad or my grandfather or my great-grandfather go back all the way whenever they gave that name to that family line. You're not watered down. You're still of that family. So when Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God, the Jews understood it very clearly. He was claiming to be equal with God. Notice also in John chapter 10, how important is it? Remember John 8:24, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 10:24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what? One." Verse 31 then. Then the Jews took up what? Stones again to stone him. So he says that he's one with the Father. They pick up the stones. They want to kill him. Verse 32. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" So he's asking them the question, why are you picking up the stones to kill me? Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for what? Blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest what? Thyself God." That is why they wanted to kill him, because he was making himself out to be God. And what did they say that was? Verse 33, blasphemy. Blasphemy is what they considered that. So Jehovah God is the Savior, and there's none else. Now, let's go to Isaiah 43, and if you have some of those tracts in your house to give Jehovah's Witnesses, which is very difficult, most Jehovah's Witnesses do not want to take anything, but you can at least try. Isaiah 43:10. This is where they get their name. It says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand what? That I am he." Well, that I am he, that who? "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am who? The Lord. And beside me there is what? No Savior." So if you ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior?" They'll say, "Of course." And then you say, "Do you believe that Jesus is Jehovah God?" And they'll say, "Of course not." Well, these two verses, right where they get their name, proves them wrong. Verse 11, "I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." So there is no Savior beside Jehovah God, because Jesus and the Father are one. Look in verse 15, Isaiah 43:15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the what? Creator of Israel, your what? Your King. And they get in all kinds of mess because they at one point claim that Michael, the archangel, is the Messiah. Well, the Bible clearly forbids worshiping angels, but the King here is the Lord, the Jehovah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. In the beginning, who? God created the heaven and the earth. So they have all kinds of contradictions. And look at verse 21, Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that what? Blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Who is this one? It's God that has blotted out their transgressions. But the Jehovah's Witnesses reject him. But it's saying you can't have Jesus as your Savior and reject that he's God. It's Jehovah. God's the one that blots out their transgressions. There is no Savior beside the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. So we need to pray for Jehovah's Witnesses. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And the very name of God, which they claim to hold so highly, they are blaspheming by denying that Jesus is God. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art, who? John the Baptist. Some, who? Elias. And others, who? Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You see, that's the issue. You know, there's a lot of people that say Jesus is this or that. Brother Steve went through a whole list of who is Jesus. Some people would say he's prophet or this or that or good teacher, great teacher, but they would not say that he's God in the flesh. So Jesus asked him, but whom say ye that I am? Do you think I'm John the Baptist? Do you think I'm Jeremiah? Do you think I'm Elijah? Who do you think I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art who? The Christ, the what? Son of the living God. And the Jews, we just read, the Jews, by Jesus saying was the Son of God, they said, you're making yourself equal with God. Peter is saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no other way to be saved other than to acknowledge that Jesus is God, our Savior. In John chapter 20, we have a doubter. John chapter 20, and his name is Thomas. We saw in John chapter 14, Thomas was one of those who was questioning this matter about Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He's puzzled about that. But in John 20, verse 24, here we go again. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I what? Will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, what? My Lord and my God. Finally, Thomas, your faith has a resting place in the true and holy one, Jesus, who is God, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us to be able to reach the Jehovah's Witnesses. We know, Lord, that they are just as hard, many of them, as Saul was before he got saved. It took something drastic in his life to awaken him that he was blaspheming the name of God by rejecting Jesus as God, the Savior. And I pray, Lord, that many Jehovah's Witnesses, that the God of this world has blinded their minds. Lord, please rebuke the devil and his angels and open their eyes to the truth, we pray. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, equal with God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, was buried and then rose in victory from the grave, proving that his pure, sinless blood was enough to wash away our sins. Help him to repent and receive Christ this night. Lord, help us. Lord, we want to be used of you to see people saved and their lives transformed. Lord, we do acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, our Savior, and we want to do your perfect will in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.